This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas will have 8 new faces sitting on the bench by mid-February. That's the most sweeping remaking of the local court in at least half a century. So what does that mean after multiple victorious candidates ran on campaigns of reform? We spend this hour exploring the changes that have happened through the election and the ones the new judges hope to implement. We start, though, with a conversation with Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Aftab Purval about his thoughts on the matter. We should note, this conversation was recorded before Purval announced his candidacy for mayor. Joining us now is Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Aftab Purval. Aftab, welcome back to our program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're glad to have you. So the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas has some new members this year, and 7 of the 8 seats were won by people identify as Democrats. One was won by a Republican. What do you see this meaning to the public here in Hamilton County?
Well, you know, I think it means big things are coming. Our court system for a long time has just been stagnant and frankly behind the times. There simply hasn't been the appetite to create positive, real change. And so new judges mean new energy and new ideas coming into our courthouse. And those new judges will fuel those needed changes that create a more fair, just system for every single person who comes through the building. These newly elected judges ran on criminal justice reform. They made that very clear. And they also ran on making a more equitable courthouse for all of us, not just some of us. What does that mean specifically? Well, it means reforming an unjust bail system, increasing transparency by providing sentencing data, and making our courts more accessible to the people who need them most. The court needs to be brought into the 21st century, and these new judges I hope to be partnering with, we will do exactly that.
When we talk about criminal justice reform, this is a term that many of us have become deeply familiar with, particularly this year as we watch protests rage across the country because of killings of Black people at the hands of police. We saw that here in the Cincinnati area as well. You just mentioned bail reform specifically, but beyond that, what do you think that means as it relates to this civil rights movement that has emerged in earnest this year?
Yeah. So, I mean, from day one, these newly elected judges have been prioritizing racial justice because, frankly, there is a need for racial justice in our court system. And there are changes that need to be made to create a court system that is in line with our American values of fairness and justice. The truth is that if you are Black, you are more likely to be arrested, more likely to have a higher bond, more likely to be convicted, more likely to get a longer sentence, and more likely to not be able to afford an attorney. These incoming judges spoke to those justice inequities and the need for change in our courthouse. And so before we can address those systemic challenges, I think we have to understand how big the problem is. So I think the first agenda item for me, and I think for the newly elected judges too, is to take a look at our sentencing data, make it transparent to the public, and figure out whether we have an issue, how big that issue is, and more importantly, how do we fix it? I mean, I really do look forward to joining them and ensuring our local courthouse reflects the honorable ideas it was designed to uphold.
So the judiciary is not a legislative body, right? You don't get the judges all together to vote on an issue together. They operate individually in most of their day-to-day tasks. How do you go about enacting any universal reforms throughout these different courtrooms?
That's not necessarily true. Certainly, each judge is autonomous. But in many instances, the court speaks in one voice. This was particularly true during COVID, where I think the courthouse did a really good job, actually, of making people safe, of limiting access to only emergency issues, while also balancing the need to respect people's constitutional rights. I'll give you a small example of how the court can act as one. Outside of bail reform, outside of sentencing transparency, how we pull our jury pool is a perfect example of this. The Ohio legislature, by statute, allows common pleas courts to make up their jury pool from both voter registration data and also driver's license or BMV data. And it's up to the court to pull from both or from one. Right now, we're only pulling from voter registration data. I believe, and many of the newly elected judges believe, that if we pulled from both databases, we would have a more diverse and more reflective and representative jury pool, so that our jury trials are more equitable and more fair. That's not one single judge can't make that change. The entire a majority of the common pleas judges have to do that. So that's just one instance where the court does actually work as a whole rather than just individual judges.
Can you talk a little bit about how that would make the jury pools fairer?
Yeah, I think the more folks with the opportunity to serve on a jury will necessarily make the jury pool more reflective of the community that is supposed to be sitting in judgment of a peer, right? Right now, I'm not convinced that our jury pool is reflective of the diversity of the community. And so increasing that database, I think, will be a good first step.
We're talking with Hamilton County Clerk of Courts, Aftab Purival. Aftab, what's your relationship like with judges professionally? And I don't mean like on a personal person-to-person level, but in terms of your workday, what is your interaction with judges like?
It's very collegial. In some instances, it's very collaborative. I mean, we really are a team here in the courthouse, whether it's the common pleas judges, the municipal court judges, the sheriff's deputies that are here providing security. We all have to work as one. Now I'll be the first to admit, and I'm sure the judges will tell you, that we do not see eye to eye on a lot of issues, particularly on these issues of justice reform. But we have a sober and important responsibility, and that is upholding our Constitution and upholding the rights of both plaintiffs and defendants, and particularly the rights of defendants in criminal cases. And we all take that responsibility really seriously. So, you know, it is collaborative. We don't always get along, but I do think we are all rowing in the same direction towards justice. And now, with a majority of Democrats on the court, I think that commitment to reform, progressive reform, will be even stronger.
You mentioned moments ago the way that the courthouse has handled the balancing act of COVID-19 mitigation efforts, while also the very important role of constitutional rights. How do those conversations take place technically? I mean, is there a meeting scheduled and all of the judges and you get together to determine how this will work?
Absolutely. I have to give Judge Kibicki, not have to, I'm happy to give Judge Kibicki, the outgoing presiding judge, a lot of credit for this. Through his leadership and the leadership of Judge Russell in the municipal court, there was open lines of communication between the sheriff's office, between the two courts, between the clerk's office, to try and be as agile and flexible as possible. For example, evictions have been just a massive problem. It was a problem prior to the epidemic. It's been an even bigger problem since the epidemic. And there's been a lot of communication needed because we have moved eviction court proceedings from the courthouse to the Justice Center, where there's more room to allow for social distancing. We've changed the dockets around and the scheduling around quite a bit because for a time evictions were suspended. And so that communication is critical, not just between the folks in the courthouse, but more importantly to the landlords and the tenants. Because right now, when public health officials are telling us to stay home, if you don't have a home because you've been evicted, and if our shelters are full, which they are, then that's not just a problem for the tenant and landlord, it's a problem for the community. So that communication is so critically important.
Do you think that this past election changed the way that voters look at judicial races? Because we did a program about how, you know, these particular races don't always generate the most enthusiasm, and they can be difficult to understand who these folks are and to get information about them. Do you think this last cycle may have altered that in any way?
I mean, the courthouse in Hamilton County and more largely in America has historically been an often overlooked institution in day-to-day life. When you think about reform, you think about the police, you think about prosecutors, but the most important, powerful person in that room is actually the judge. And in today's society, an increased focus on our judicial structures and those individuals presiding over them, which I think was partly sparked by the national outcry of this past year, that scrutiny is overdue and it's required. And voters are beginning to hold a light up to those people placed in positions of critical responsibility instead of just defaulting to choosing the candidate with the most recognizable name. This turnover is incredibly healthy for our justice system, and I think denotes that the people of Hamilton County want to hold our courthouse and the values it upholds accountable and are reform-minded individuals.
As a politician, though, outside of your work, you know, you're involved and you have to run for your office, and you know a lot of political operatives around the area. What do you see the future being as it relates to campaigns? Do you see this as a battleground anymore, or is the court system likely blue now the way so much of the rest of Hamilton County's government is?
I think voters are standing up and making their voices heard like never before. And Donald Trump and the Republican Party's values are not their values. And we've seen that in election after election in Hamilton County. Our residents have made clear that they care about justice in our courthouse. They care about electing leaders who unite and not divide and are dedicated to the idea of bettering our community. I mean, this dramatic shift really started in the courthouse in 2016 with my own election. I was the first Democrat in 100 years to be elected to the clerk of courts. And since then, we have flipped several judicial seats. But the candidates who run, who have the courage, the moral certainty to put their name on the ballot, they deserve a lot of credit, most of the credit. Our local party has run strong leaders who are serious about getting into office, rolling up their sleeves, and fighting to make the lives of Hamilton County residents better in real ways. As the clerk of courts, listen, I understand it's the least sexy, most bureaucratic office, but I have tried really hard, worked really hard to make it relevant to people's lives, to make it a tool for equaling the playing field, for increasing access to justice, particularly with our nationally awarded help center. And the shift shows that Hamilton County is serious about the idea that we are all better off when everyone has the opportunity to participate in our society.
Aftab Purval is the Democratic Hamilton County Clerk of Courts. Aftab Purval, thank you so much for the time you gave us. Hope to talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
And up next, we talk with three of the new judges in the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our look at the reshaped Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas, where eight new judges will take seats on the bench by mid-February. Here is our pre-recorded conversation with Judge Nicole Sanders. Judge Nicole Sanders, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thank you.
It's our pleasure to have you. You've already been sworn in. You've taken your seat on the bench as of earlier this month. How's it been for you so far?
It's been great. As in everything, there's a transition, there's a learning curve. But the staff that I inherited have been wonderful with making sure that we cross all of our T's, dot all of our I's. So it's been wonderful. I have no complaints.
There are a lot of new faces at the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas, including yours. So at least in the capacity in which you're serving now, do you think that changes things? And if so, what things does that change?
Because there are so many of us, I think it does have the potential to change things. I think new faces, new perspective, fresh eyes is always a wonderful way to move the court forward. So I do think it will change things in a positive way. I think it will be, like I said, bring fresh perspective, new ideas, new collaboration with the sitting judges. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity to have so many judges taking their seats so that we can perhaps, change things in a different way, in a new direction.
Prior to being elected, you were a Hamilton County Juvenile Court Magistrate for about, I guess, 7 years. Did you see anything there through that lens that was cause for concern in the way justice is administered locally?
Well, child support is difficult. It's hard to make any party happy. So I will say that at one point before child support, the worksheets where we work, I would say sometimes the child support orders were a little high, but the legislators reworked the law, and now there are much more reasonable child support orders that are being set in juvenile court. That's basically where I worked in child support. So from that aspect, there were times when, you know, I set orders that I may not have necessarily agreed with, but, you know, you have to follow the law. So.
And in the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas, you're serving specifically in what is commonly referred to as drug court. What was it about that particular area that attracted your campaign to seek that seat?
It's an opportunity to help. It's an opportunity to maybe restructure the current drug court program in a way that is, you know, works more evidence-based. It's a way to partner with community partners in the addiction area more closely than we have before. It's an opportunity to bring transparency to the community about drug court. Not many people knew we had a drug court. They didn't necessarily know who the judge was. They weren't necessarily knowledgeable about how the court works, who's allowed to participate in the program. So for me, it was an opportunity to actually build something new, improve upon something that already existed, and include the community in a way that maybe we hadn't in the past.
We're talking with Nicole Sanders. She is newly elected to the Court of Common Pleas in Hamilton County, serving as judge on the drug court. When you talk about increasing transparency and I guess what it sounds like also just general awareness of the drug court, what does that look like?
Well, it makes educating the community about what the drug court does as far as how someone gets into drug court, what happens when they're there, who's allowed in, if they're not allowed in, you know, what the criteria is for rejection. It's really just making sure that people understand that we're here as a resource to help people restore their lives for a second chance, and make sure that we're accountable to the community. You know, when I ran for this position, I promised to be inclusive. I promised to be transparent. So it's an opportunity to keep those promises and to continue to educate and include the community about what we do. A lot of people, like I said, didn't know about drug court.
This court typically sees defendants who are facing low-level felony drug crimes, and you specialize in offering treatment to those folks. Can you give us an idea of what that means in practice, like who those folks are and what types of treatment they're often offered?
So when you unfortunately get a lower level felony, a possession of drugs, you are rolled to the drug court. At that time, you are evaluated to see what type of treatment you would be responsible for as appropriate. Once you have been evaluated for treatment, you enter a program and you address the trauma that causes the addiction. You are giving corrective behavior treatment. There are 12-step programs. It's a holistic approach in some cases to address drug treatment. In other cases, it's medically assisted treatment. The medically assisted therapy helps you deal with cravings. It helps you deal with detox, and it helps your brain start to rehab and repair so that you can sustain treatment once you get out in the community without MAT. So you get cognitive behavior treatment as well as the medically assisted therapy at the same time. So depending upon where you are in your addiction, it depends upon what type of treatment you get. And so when you come to drug court, it's no longer about being punished. It's about being assessed for treatment, and it's about receiving the appropriate treatment. It's about being taught those behaviors that will help you not relapse and sustain your treatment once you graduate from the program. So really, it's about giving people an opportunity to avoid getting a felony conviction and to rehab their lives. I want to make sure that we offer ancillary services where we can address people's housing needs, if there's transportation issues, if there are vocational needs, if someone needs GED help. So we're trying to make sure that we address the entire person and rehabbing their situation when it comes to addiction and not just dealing with the addiction. We have to make sure we're just not putting a Band-Aid on a problem. So we want to get to the root cause and then deal with those, additional issues that lead and sustain addiction.
We're speaking with Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas Judge Nicole Sanders, elected in November, sworn in earlier this month. She serves on the drug court at the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas. Prior to becoming a juvenile court magistrate, which we referenced moments ago, where you served for 7 years, you were a prosecutor with the city of Cincinnati, and then you worked in civil litigation, and then you were chief counsel for the city solicitor's office here in Cincinnati. At what point in your legal studies or in your legal career did you set your sights on becoming a judge?
So I wouldn't say I set my sights on becoming a judge. Particularly, I would say that when I was a magistrate judge and doing that work every day, I encountered a lot of people who unfortunately couldn't pay their child support because they had addiction issues. And when you are a magistrate in child support, you can't deal with collateral issues. Your job there is to help motivate and enforce the child support order. And so I'm sitting there day in and day out trying to motivate people to pay child support when they're suffering from addiction and they don't have housing or they don't have employment or they don't have clothing or their health isn't good. And so it became glaringly apparent that we needed to address the addiction issues in order to deal with some of the that lead to the other legal issues. And I had a case manager who had a daughter who was suffering from addiction that I mentored and we became close. So I wouldn't say I actually had the goal of becoming a judge. I would say because of my daily exposure to people suffering from addiction and being exposed to them and learning that some of them were reluctant to get treatment through the drug court, that I decided to seek that seat to see, because I felt that I could administer it better. That's when I decided to seek that seat. It was not that I ever made a conscious choice that I want to be a judge. It was, I want to be this type of judge when the opportunity was offered to me.
When we go beyond just the label on the type of judge you are, and we get into, I guess, the meat of the type of justice you'll deliver, when someone appears before you, what should they expect?
Someone who's going to be open, someone who's going to be compassionate, and someone who's going to be a partner. Drug court can no longer be punitive in helping people recover from addiction. It's not. It hasn't worked in the 30, 40, 50 years that we've tried it, and we have to have another approach. And so for me, I will be open, I will be compassionate, and I will work with people to help them get through the addiction disease that they're suffering from. I'm not going to look at the person and see the offense. I'm going to look at the person and hopefully through qualified treatment staff, identify what is making this person suffer from the addiction disorder. And once identified, help them recover from it.
Judge Nicole Sanders serves on the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas in the Drug Court Division. Judge Sanders, congratulations. Thank you for the time you gave us. And I hope we get to talk again soon about some of the progress being made.
Thank you. I'm glad I could do the interview. Just know I just really want to do a good job for the people of Hamilton County. And I really want to make sure that this program is substantive and makes a real difference. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. 8 new judges taking their seats on the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas. We continue our look at the new faces in this pre-recorded conversation with Judge-elect Jennifer Branch. Joining us now is Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas Judge-Elect Jennifer Branch. Judge-Elect Branch, thank you for being with us. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. We saw in the past election a pretty significant shakeup of those sitting on the bench at the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas. And I'm wondering if you could share with us what your general thoughts are on this new makeup of judges coming in this year.
Well, I ran in 2020 for the Common Pleas Court because I was hopeful that there would be a shakeup, that there would be enough new judges joining the bench that we could get some changes made in the courthouse. And the voters agreed, and the voters voted in 7 new judges. And I think we've got a great opportunity to make some changes at the courthouse to make it more fair and more equitable for everyone.
As far as making it more fair and more equitable, you've said that among your goals are to enlarge the county's jury pool and to increase diversity there. Can you talk about how that process might play out?
The jury pool can be expanded by a vote of the Hamilton County Common Pleas Court General Division just judges. So there are 16 of us. Once we all get on the bench, I don't get on the bench until February. Some are getting on the bench after me. But, you know, by March or April, I would say we'll all be on the bench. And then we can just take a vote to expand the jury pool. And I'm hopeful that that will happen in the springtime. Unfortunately, because of COVID and Hamilton County's infection rates, juries are not happening right now. But it would be great if we can get the system ready so when juries come back full swing, we will be able to have a more expanded pool. And the whole purpose of that is just to add people to the pool. Right now, registered voters are those are the people that are communicated with to ask them to come down to court and be a juror. But we can add to that people with driver's license and state IDs so that we can get a broader segment of the population on our juries.
What would the impact of that be, do you think?
Well, I don't know yet. And these are questions that I am dying to ask the judges who have already looked into this before I get on the bench. The impact should be adding people who aren't registered voters. And if you saw this last election, not everybody who's eligible to vote votes. But all of those people should be eligible to be on a jury. And my hope would be that that would increase the diversity of the jury pool by race, by age, and we would be able to see a broader segment of the community on the juries, or at least in the pool of jurors from which jurors can be selected for trials.
You've noted before sentencing disparities. Do you think that expanding the jury pool might assist in what might be your quest to address sentencing disparities to ensure that people who face similar charges are receiving similar punishments?
Well, that's a great question. I think expanding the jury pool may result in different verdicts, whether people are guilty of all the crimes they're charged with, or some of them, or even found not guilty. But when it comes to sentencing, that's up to the judge. And right now, there is no system in place in Hamilton County for me. Let's say I'm coming on the bench and I want to know I've got a aggravated burglary conviction and the defendant is coming before me for sentencing. Where do I go to look to see, well, how have the judges been sentencing people who are similarly situated on an aggravated burglary? And there's no place to look for that. And the problem is we don't know if the judges are being fair and giving the same sentence to the same people, or are the assumption is that some people of color, are being sentenced more harshly. There's absolutely no way to know the answer to that question until we start collecting the data. So it would be my hope that when I get on the bench, that when I sentence people, we're going to start collecting the data in my courtroom so I can just see and compare myself across the defendants that I will be seeing during my 6-year term. But in addition to that, the Ohio Supreme Court has asked us to start using a uniform sentencing entry. And I would love to start doing that as soon as I get on the bench, because that uniform entry will collect the data. It'll ask, you know, the race, the age, whether somebody has a disability, what the different demographics are, the defendants. So when they compile all that data at the Supreme Court level, they can see if we do have disparities in Hamilton County. And, you know, I want to know if I'm sentencing different people differently for the same crimes, because that means I've got some implicit bias. Because certainly I'm not biased intentionally, but we all have implicit bias. And I would like to know that so that I could fix that.
Judge Branch, I asked this of judges who are coming on this program. You, obviously, you start as an attorney. At what point in your career did you think that you would ultimately want to end up on a bench somewhere?
Well, I think I've realized early on in my career that judges matter. Judges can be fair. Judges can make decisions that the outcome will affect my case. And I, very early on in my career, I encountered judges who were not fair and I felt were penalizing me because I worked at Legal Aid, or my client because they were poor. And that's not the system I thought I was getting a law license to practice in. And I think it was in the early 2000s that I really thought that I should take the opportunity to run for judge, if that ever occurred, or get appointed for judge if that ever occurred. And I did run in 2014 for juvenile court and lost by 5 points, and decided that I needed, if I were going to try this again, I needed to run in an election year that would be more voters would come out and vote, because it's hard for voters to vote for judges. So I'd say, yeah, it's been a good decade or more that I've wanted to be a judge. And my husband will say to me, you used to say you were too liberal to be a judge in Hamilton County. And that's not true anymore. The times have changed and the county has changed and the voters have changed, and they've decided we need judges across the entire spectrum.
Since 2005, you've been a partner at Gerritsen and Branch alongside prominent civil rights attorney Al Gerritsen. You've become a prominent civil rights attorney in your own right. You and Mr. Gerritsen co-wrote an opinion piece in the Cincinnati Inquirer after the paper published its 20 top stories from the last decade. And four of those stories involved cases that your firm was a part of, and they are very significant here locally and in some sense nationally. We're talking about Jim Obergefell and John Arthur, the same-sex marriage case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court and ultimately led to the nationwide legalization of same-sex marriage, the tragic shooting death of Sam DuBose at the hands of a University of Cincinnati police officer, Kyle Plush, the young student who died trapped inside his van. And you also dealt with a judge, Tracy Hunter, and her case on the juvenile court. Let's start by talking a bit about the Obergefell case. How does the significance of that resonate with you in your everyday life? I mean, it's a name now that can be said and trigger an idea and hopes for people.
Obergefell, representing Jim Obergefell and John Arthur, it was such a great privilege. And we knew that we had to file that case quickly after the Supreme Court ruling in Windsor. And we did that because we could see that there was a possibility that the courts would start to open up and allow marriage equality, at least here locally. And we got an excellent decision from our local federal court judge. And then because the whole country started filing similar cases everywhere, and all those cases succeeded except ours, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed and said marriage equality would not happen in Ohio. And that's why that case ended up in the United States Supreme Court. And because of that, the Supreme Court had to decide, because there was difference of opinion across the country, and it was their job to settle that difference. And I am so proud that the Supreme Court was able to rule that everyone should be allowed to marry, regardless of the gender of the person they're marrying. And that case is a great legacy for our partnership, my partnership with Al, and for all of the attorneys that worked at our firm. It's really hard to talk about that case and the other cases you mentioned, because our law firm no longer exists, because I cannot have my name on a law firm when I become a judge. So Gerhard Stein and Branch is now in the history books, and that representing those clients and the other clients you've mentioned has really been a remarkable part of my career. And there's so many more clients that we have represented that never make it to the newspaper or to the media, but also change the law and have made a difference in civil rights in our state.
Let's talk lastly about the Sam DuBose case, another instance of a Black man being killed at the hands of a police officer. And in the past year, we have seen the nation boil over with its frustration and anger over similar issues across the country. Now that you're a judge, do you see any importance in how you as an individual help build trust in the legal system, in the judicial system, among those who feel they've never been served by it?
Yes, I think as part of my job as a judge, and one of the things I really want to accomplish as a judge, is that when someone comes into my courtroom and loses, and every case there's going to be a loser, whether it's a plaintiff in a civil case or a defendant who's being sued, or a prosecutor and a victim who feel somebody should have been convicted who wasn't, or a person convicted of a crime, there's always going to be a loser. And my goal is to have a fair courtroom that respects everybody who's in that courtroom, who takes a position and tries their case. And if they lose, I would hope that they would leave saying that they felt at least it was a fair process. I had a trial once where my client was a transgendered African-American inmate, and we sued because she got beaten up in prison. And when we lost that trial, the first thing that came to my mind and to her mind was, well, the jury didn't think this was a case they should bother with because I'm a transgender prisoner, male to female transgender person in prison. And it was not a good feeling to be packing up and walking out of a courtroom feeling that it was discrimination by the jury was the reason we lost. And remarkably, three of the jurors came into the courtroom when the case was over and walked up to my client and shook her hand and said, I just want you to know, we ruled against you because we thought that was the right decision, not because you're transgender or you're an inmate. And I thought that was sad that we lost, but a great way to walk out of the courthouse feeling at least we had our day in court. And so I want to make sure that in the cases that I preside over, everyone feels that they've been treated fairly and equally, and there was no discrimination based on your, whether you're a law enforcement, whether you're a prisoner, or whether you're Black or white, male or female, disabled or able-bodied, that everybody feels that they've had a fair shot and they had their day in court.
Jennifer Branch is Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas judge-elect, taking office or taking the bench on February the 9th. Judge-elect Branch, thank you for the time you gave us today. Good luck. I hope to talk to you again.
Thank you. I hope you do talk to me again and catch up and check in to see how things are going.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We finish our look at the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas with this pre-recorded interview with Judge-elect Robert Gehring. Joining us now is Judge Robert Gehring. Judge Gehring, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, we're glad you could join us in the recent election. You were the sole Republican to be elected from 8 seats in Hamilton County's Common Pleas Court. I'm wondering, just from a philosophical perspective, what you think that might mean for the way the courts are handled moving forward.
Well, I think every judge, no matter what political party they're associated with, is really trying to be a good jurist, listen to the case, make a decision based on precedent and based on the facts. And so I think judges really do try not to be political when they're on the bench.
Do you think that that's more challenging? You're entering, I guess, your first position as a judge. Is it more challenging in the landscape where national politics are starting to dominate the way we look at even local politics, and the judiciary is such a critical component of that? They're under a microscope, a partisan microscope. Do you see more challenges in the way that you might rule and the way that's perceived through a partisan lens?
So the Supreme Court, like the highest court in the land, certainly has those partisan, more political aspects to it, just because they take on those type issues and they are obviously presidential nominees. I think when you're talking about the Court of Common Pleas of Hamilton County, you find jurists that are a little more practical, possibly, as opposed to political. And I'm looking forward to kind of adding my personality to that very practical effect, having been a lawyer for over 30 years here. I've kind of learned how to listen to people and to, be in favor of a quick decision that resolves issues. And so I think it's a little less political at a local level.
Well, you talk about adding your personality to it. Perhaps you could help us understand, just as a basic civics lesson, the general role of the County Court of Common Pleas as you see it.
So the Court of Common Pleas deals with any cases where the dollar amount in dispute is over $15,000, and any case where the potential incarceration period is over a year. And so these are really very important cases. They are big dollar amount cases. And so you are going to find what my background basically is more of a civil practice. So I'm going to be immediately good at those cases. And very fortunately, the Supreme Court of Ohio puts on excellent classes, which are mandatory for all new judges. And we've done the first week of those classes already now to help learn kind of the other aspect that that I'm probably not as good as maybe a former prosecutor would be. And so it's a very exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to being an addition to the court.
We're talking with newly elected Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas Judge Robert Gehring. We'll note that your term is for 6 years. Under state law, Common Pleas judges begin their terms on different dates between January 1st and mid-February. You are set to take the bench on February the 11th. When you think about having to learn all of these new mechanisms related to your new position, is there a sense of pressure? I mean, this isn't just learning ahead of a test you have to take. I mean, there are real life stakes here that are very concerning to people who will be appearing before you.
Yeah, luckily the Supreme Court does a really good job of giving the new judges materials to help them. In fact, some of the materials are actually scripts that in a particular type of a criminal case, you actually read the script. There's a lot of constitutional warnings that you have to give to people that make a plea, for example. And a lot of it is already outlined by judges that are been on the bench for a long time and are willing to share their talents with the new judges. So it's exciting. It's not as daunting as you might think.
Well, you're no stranger to the law. You're no stranger to politics, certainly not campaigning. You've been elected the county treasurer for quite a long time. You've been out of law school for a long time, and you've been in private practice. At what point in your life did you look beyond being a lawyer and sitting on the bench?
Well, I think every law student who reads decisions and cases written by judges kind of thinks, you know, someday I would like to be a judge. And ever since law school, I knew that at some point I wanted to be a judge. And so I'm very, very thankful the voters saw fit to elect me. And I promise that I will really use all of my background, all of my talents to hopefully become one of the best judges and make the voters proud.
So let's talk about what happens after this. I know you're just getting started. You're still learning what it even means to be on the Common Pleas Court as a judge. You're literally taking classes on some aspects of that. But let's look into the future. When you leave the bench, at this point in your career, as you begin this portion of it, what do you hope people will say about you when all of this is over?
Well, I really hope that anyone who appears in front of me in the as a judge, whether a litigant, an attorney, an expert witness, a police officer, any witnesses, would say that I did a good job listening and paying attention to what they had to say. And I believe that I will be a good listener. And, you know, anyone who feels that they've had their say in their day in court, I think they're likely to have a positive view of our courts, to have a positive view of my particular ruling and judgment, and to have a positive view of how the judiciary as a whole operates all over, not just in their case. And that's really what I hope to achieve.
Robert Gehring is newly elected Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas judge. Judge Gehring, thank you for the time you gave us and hope to talk to you again.
Thank you, Michael, very much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.